On a recent night near Kenmore Square, bright red posters printed in Boston University colors were tacked and taped on doorways, poles, and windows all along Commonwealth Avenue. The posters condemned an incoming African-American professor, Seda Grundy, who sent out a controversial tweet criticizing white males. The posters referenced that tweet and complained that, quote, black privilege means not being fired after saying that white college males are a problem population. The poster's message resonated with some BU students.
They're saying that white people can't be racist towards black people, but black people can do whatever the hell they want. It's a double standard. They're compensating for what happened 200 years ago, which that should be a statute of limitations on it.
What this student doesn't know is who is behind the posters. The National Youth Front, or NYF, says it is dedicated to, quote, the preservation of all white people, unquote. Senior Will Belt saw three men hanging the posters near BU's Martin Luther King Memorial just days after Dylan Roof murdered 9 black worshipers in a church in Charleston, South Carolina.
So like I look up and there's like 3 guys walking, kind of like stopping along the way of ComAv, putting up posters.
Belt, who heads BU's Black Student Union, followed the men.
And just like every poster they would put down, I would take it off and then like put it in my backpack. I think it was around like Kenmore area, where like they turned around and I'm pretty sure they noticed like that I'm like behind them.
The NYF is affiliated with the American Freedom Party, which openly advocates white supremacy. It is only the latest in a growing number of extremist organizations targeting college campuses, including those in New England.
New England is where I grew up, and certainly it's a part of the world that you wouldn't really expect to see this kind of thing happening.
But Mark Potok of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, says hate groups feud by mainstream resentments and perceived slights over crime, affirmative action, immigration, and other grievances see potential for growth.
I mean, we see them as much on university campuses as in other places in the society. We see them maybe not quite as much, but certainly in places like Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and so on, as well as the Deep South.
If it feels like we've been here before, we have. The 1990s. Sovereign citizen militia and Aryan Nation movements were grounded in similar racist anti-government ideologies. Today, the militia movement is back.
I don't recognize the United States government as even existing.
The most prominent so-called sovereign citizen today is Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. He was embraced by conservative media for refusing to pay more than $1 million owed to the government for grazing cattle on public land. Federal authorities backed down when dozens of heavily armed militia poured onto Bundy's ranch in a show of defiance. Sovereign citizens oppose the 14th Amendment, and many, like Cliven Bundy, hold deeply racist views.
And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves, picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy?
These ideas, no matter how distasteful, are protected by the First Amendment. The problem, says Potok, is when these ideas motivate individuals to go a step further, like Dylan Roof today and Timothy McVeigh 20 years before.
9 o'clock this morning, an explosion occurred at the Alfred Murrah Federal Building in downtown.
The witnesses that we talked to, they said that they heard the explosion a little bit after 9 o'clock.
Debris, glass, building matter spread on several downtown blocks.
The idea of blowing up the federal building has long been on the agenda of the far right.
The lone wolf phenomenon is something that's been developing for 30 years now. So, you know, it's people like Timothy McVeigh who act essentially alone or with one or two Confederates.
Mark Potok says a number of factors are driving individuals into the hands of extremist groups. But the main factor, says Potok, is fear of a non-white nation.
And there are a very significant number of white people in the population who feel that the country their Christian white forefathers supposedly built is somehow being taken from them. And the appearance of Barack Obama on the scene is very much symbolizes that change.
Tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
In the early morning of November 8, 2008, just hours after Barack Obama gave a rousing victory speech in Chicago, 3 men splattered gasoline in the Macedonia Church in Springfield, Massachusetts, an African-American house of worship.
you know, and those men were convicted of civil rights violation. There's no question that they were burning the church because it represented Black America.
Police departments around the country took notice. Charles Kurzman, a sociologist at the University of North Carolina, interviewed cops from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
And the most commonly cited threat from violent extremism was from what we called anti-government violent extremism. Three-quarters of the agencies said that that was one of the top three threats they were facing.
Ironically, 2014 FBI statistics show the number of hate groups in decline. But law enforcement officials believe the smaller extremist groups may be more influential on potential lone wolves.
You could point to the couple in Las Vegas who assassinated police officers last year in a restaurant.
Where hate groups like the KKK and community lynchings were once accepted, violence motivated by hate is now criminalized. That's why hate groups hope to inspire others like Dylan Roof to take action, says Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
It's very, very rare now to see these kinds of criminal actions, planned in smoky rooms full of sort of white men. It just doesn't happen that way anymore. So much more typically, you will see people who might be involved in hate groups. They're kind of around the fringes of that world. They're absorbing all the propaganda.
The ideas pushed by these organizations are directed at people like BU student Jim Russell. Outside BU's Marsh Chapel, he studies an online poster from the National Youth Front. He likens it to an Army recruitment ad with a finger pointed at him.
I've seen a lot online, and it's been interesting to watch because the hate groups trying to organize are trying to be, I guess, subtle, but I think those people can very quickly tell that whatever they're trying to sell, that's not what I'm about.
But Jim Russell worries that such dangerous ideas might find a receptive ear from someone on this vast campus who may know little or nothing about the messenger, but agrees with the message. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston's local NPR.